You'll notice that according to Ezekiel 38:11, that Gog makes his move when it appears that Israel is in a state of peace with her neighbors.
As we know from history, the world has always been a dangerous place to live. But the Bible has special warnings about the 7 years just before Jesus returns to the earth. Our Lord himself warned us in Matthew 24 and 25 to be awake and watching for signs that those times are approaching. So do current events tell us that we're almost there? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. Recent news stories about international politics make us wonder if we are on the brink of nuclear war. Are these events consistent with Bible prophecy? Open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 38 and let's listen to Pastor J.D.'s message, World Update.
Russia has played a positive role in the P5 plus one, and that is why we hope for Moscow's help to reach the final agreement on the nuclear program. And so you have Russia and Iran working together. And what does the Bible say? Listen, it's going to be Russia and Iran, Russia and Persia, Gog and Persia with all of its allies. What does all this point to? Well, it would appear that prophecy is indeed being fulfilled even as we speak. The reunification between Russia and its former states, the continued strengthening military and economic ties between Russia and the arch enemy of Israel. And who would that be? Iran. That is Israel's declared enemy. They have declared that their intention is to wipe Israel off the map. And trust me, they do mean it. And so Russia and Iran working together against the nation of Israel. Now, other nations, back to prophecy, other nations that will join this invading military coalition are Ethiopia, Libya, Sudan, Turkey, and possibly Germany. Now, how do we identify these? Well, you remember last week when we were in Genesis chapter 10, we identified the various nations that came out of the individuals, out of the families. And that's how we identify who these are, because those names carry forward and they are identified with these particular countries and regions. So verse 6 includes a reference to the many people who are with you. Now, who are the many people? Well, some believe that the many could be other Islamic nations, possibly even terrorist groups such as Hamas, Hezbollah, and possibly even Al-Qaeda. They may join in a future invasion of Israel. Trust me, none of them love Israel. They all share one thing in common. They deeply hate Israel. I would say the nation of Israel, but they do not consider Israel as a nation, and that is part of the problem. It has been said that Iran is the greatest threat to the people of Israel, but I do believe that the Bible makes it clear that the real threat will come from a man referred to as Gog. The man who is referred to as Gog, he will rally the Muslim nations in a powerful military coalition with Russia to invade Israel. And that is what Ezekiel chapter 38 is all about. Now, God singles out Gog as the perpetrator of this alliance. And God has set, it says, God has set his face against Gog. And God says that this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 is against Gog. Now, could Putin be Gog? Listen, I don't know. I wouldn't say that he is or isn't. I would just say that it's going to be someone like him. It will be someone like him with that same desire, that same ambition for expansion. And to, you know, he has no love for Israel. And yes, he would come down in a moment if he thought he could take Israel. If he thought the United States was out of the way, if he thought he had the backing of Iran, if he thought he had the backing of these coalition of member states, he would go down there in a moment. There's a lot to be had in Israel. And there's no love there. So as we look at events such as a future invasion of Israel by Russia with a coalition of Muslim nations, it's important to remember this. God is in control, not Gog. God is in control, not Gog. Look at verse 4. I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Notice the first person of the word of the use, I, God, will turn you around. I, God, will put hooks into your jaws. I, God, will lead you out. God is leading the invasion against Israel, and that may seem perplexing to you, but he has a purpose. And we're going to see that. It's not because God is against Israel. Then why? Why does God inspire a military invasion against his own people, the nation of Israel? Well, just take a brief look down in verse 16. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. And it will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me. You see what God is doing? It's an evangelistic outreach. It really is. So that the nations will know me. God wants the nations to know him. And listen, he knows. God knows and God understands that he's going to deliver Israel miraculously. It's going to be so incredible that the world is going to look at that and say, man, that was God. It doesn't mean they will acknowledge him as God. It doesn't mean they will turn to him, but they will recognize him as God. And they will recognize a miraculous deliverance because it says, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. In other words, God is going to honor, he's going to exalt himself through this entire process, through this entire military incursion. He's just going to show himself mighty on behalf of his people Israel. And God wants the nations to know him. The New Living Translation reads like this, and my holiness will be displayed by what happens to you, Gog. My holiness will be on display. My holiness will be manifested by what happens to you, Gog. You see, he's going to use Gog in order to bring glory to himself. So what happens to Gog and the invading army? Well, I think this is pretty cool. Look down at Ezekiel 38, look down at verse 10, and we'll just read on through the end of the chapter. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of a land. And just to stop there, by the way, that is prophecy answered right there. You see, before, when this was written, of course, there was the dispersion of Israel. You go back to AD 70, you know, the dispersion when the Romans conquered Jerusalem. And they never again came together as a nation. And it's never happened in the history of the world that a people was dispersed as the people of Israel, as the nation of Israel was, and then reunited together again. And that's what this verse is speaking of. It says, after that reunification, of course, we know that that happened in 1948, when the United Nations again recognized Israel as a nation, as a people, with a border, with a country of its own. And so that right there is an amazing piece of prophecy already fulfilled. So we've crossed that. We've crossed that milestone. So now in verse 13, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. Again, you can take those back to Genesis chapter 10, where we were last week. We read those very names. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what we just read, Thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Now, in light of this, do you begin to understand the relevance of what is going on up there in the far north right now? You begin to see the picture. You begin to see how things are coming together and the pieces of the puzzle start fitting into place. And it makes sense according to Bible prophecy. Now, you will notice that according to Ezekiel 38:11, that Gog makes his move when it appears that Israel is in a state of peace with her neighbors. Now, has that happened? Well, relatively, in a relative sense, it has. I mean, there's less going on, there's less deaths and all taking place now than at any other time in history, but it's not what this describes. But this peace process, it is taking place right now. Now you say, well, that's been going on a long time. Yes, it has. But it's probably closer now than maybe it ever has been. And there must be some form of peace prior to this invasion, because Ezekiel 38 describes Israel as a land dwelling in peace, in their you know, unprotected walls. They're not worried about anything. Now, that's not the case right now. They are worried. But March 3rd, 2014. Now, when was that? Okay, there you go. Fresh off the press again, just a couple days ago. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated, "It's about time the Palestinians recognize Israel as a Jewish state. We've only been there for 4,000 years, Netanyahu said. I always appreciate how he speaks. He's very direct. You know, we've only been there about 4,000 years. They should recognize us as a state. 20 years of peace process were marked by many Israeli steps for peace, but we got suicide bombers and rockets in return. The people of Israel expect me to stand strong against pressure and for the security of Israel." That word security, note that. You see, that's fundamental to secure Israel's survival, is security. And that is what we see in Ezekiel 38. They are in a place of perceived security in Ezekiel 38. You see, that's the big issue. They're a small state. They're a small country. They're about the size of New Jersey. They're backed up against the Mediterranean Sea. They have nowhere to retreat to. What they need is security. And they feel very vulnerable. Goes on to say, Israel has been doing its part in the peace process, and I regret to say the Palestinians haven't. Now, here's Obama's response. Obama responded to this by saying, "Tough decisions will have to be made." Quote, "Tough decisions will have to be made since the original time frame for the peace talks is drawing to a close." In other words, they've put some time limits on this peace process. It's coming to a close. Now, I will just share with you a few things that we do know about our current administration. This administration does not stand with Israel. They do not stand with Israel. At this time, the Palestinians are demanding that Israel discontinue the construction of settlements in disputed areas, and they also are requiring the release of Palestinian prisoners. One of the headlines in the Jerusalem Post today... Now, when was today? Today. All right? Again, hot off the press. Jerusalem Post, major news. In fact, they showed a picture of the Jerusalem Post was so happy today. They had a picture of Netanyahu reclining on a floaty out in the Mediterranean, and he was holding up a copy of the Jerusalem Post. So the Jerusalem Post said, Netanyahu reads the Jerusalem Post. Okay, so yes, it is an important publication. And so it's a good source of news. I often look at that as a source to keep up with what's going on in Israel. But today, Israel's foreign minister is refusing to agree to such a freeze on settlements, on the settlement construction, and stated that there will be no release of Palestinian prisoners. In other words, he's saying, get lost. You know, we're not going to do it. No more conditions. In fact, he did say that. He said, we're not going to give in to any more conditions, because in the past, every time we've given in to conditions, it did nothing for us except hurt us. And we're not doing it again. So President Obama has sided with the Palestinians on this issue, and this past Sunday, he condemned Israel's decision to disregard the Palestinians' command. According to the Jerusalem Post article, this is Israel's foreign minister speaking. He said, there will be no conditions, Lieberman said Wednesday at a meeting in Tel Aviv of the Institute of Certified Public Accountants in Israel. Quote, we are willing to listen and to talk, but we will not accept conditions. Those who want to set conditions should look for other partners, he said. The article goes on to say, shortly after U.S. President Barack Obama slammed continued settlement construction in an interview published on Sunday, and here's what he said. He said it would be increasingly difficult for the U.S. to, quote, manage the international fallout against Israel if the talks fail. Wow, that's standing with Israel, isn't it? Hey, if the talks fail, it's your fault, Israel. And how are we going to manage the international pressure that's coming, going to come against you? I mean, it's all going to fall apart if you don't agree to the conditions that the Palestinians have placed upon you. And that's why I said, we're not always going to agree, because we know that the church stands with Israel. The United States should stand with Israel. Agree with them on everything or not, they are God's people. God has chosen them, and God has promised blessing on those who will bless them and cursing upon those who will curse them. I think it's the most dangerous position you could ever be in is a nation is to stand against the nation of Israel. And yet that's where we're going. Now it would appear that Israel will eventually bend in the negotiating process. We do know that in the last days, the temple will be rebuilt and the outer court is given over to the Gentiles. Either Israel is going to bend, Palestinians are going to bend, or there's going to be some joint agreement, but there will be some form of agreement, because we know from prophecy, it says that the temple will be rebuilt, but that the Gentiles will occupy the outer court. In other words, they are going to share an occupied area together. Based upon that prophecy, it would appear that however the issue settled, there will be a two-state solution with the Palestinians and the Israelis living side by side. But peace itself will only be a perception, but not reality. In fact, the Bible says true and everlasting peace will not come until we know from Revelation that Satan is bound up for 1,000 years, and that period, that 1,000-year peace period we call the millennium, will be ushered in when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth. And until then, it's an illusion. It does say, when Israel is living in this state of perceived peace, that Gog will descend from the north, from the far north, with all of its allies. And here's what's going to happen. The world is essentially going to stand by and is going to watch. Just going to watch. But what they will see is the world is going to see the God of Israel obliterate the invaders. That's going to be the big news. That's what's coming out of this, is that God obliterates Gog. In fact, I remember when I first did this message back in 2009, I said, that's going to be the big headline in those days. God obliterates Gog. Big headline. I don't believe this is too far off, and whether that too far off means a few years, 10 years, 15 years, I don't know. But you can see the writing on the wall. You can see the developments. You can see the trend, and you can see that world events are tracking perfectly with Bible prophecy right now. And to me, that's interesting. It's fascinating. But beyond that, isn't it interesting to be living in these days when we can read the news and it's just like the news is right out of the Bible, isn't it? And it is fascinating. It affirms your faith. It affirms, and you realize, you know, the Word, God knows. The Bible says God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. He sees the entire picture, and He's given it to us. Number one, do continue to watch. As Russia applies pressure upon the former Soviet states to become member states of Eurasia, either diplomatically or by military coercion. Number two, continue to watch as ties between Russia and Iran are strengthened. We will continue to see cooperation between those two, as that is an important nation to Russia in its efforts to whatever it has on its plans. And I do believe, yes, that there will be secret plans going on behind the scenes at some point to invade Israel. I wouldn't be surprised if it's already on the drawing board. Wouldn't surprise me at all that there is already some cooperative understanding in place, because you see they share a common goal. And third, continue to watch the peace process, as we can expect to see some form of peace arrangement, possibly in the near future. There are some major obstacles, probably one of the biggest obstacles. First of all, you heard what Israel's foreign minister said. He said, we're not going to negotiate on these conditions. But one of the big conditions is that this issue of the right of return of the refugees, the Palestinian refugees, having the right to come back to what they consider to be their homeland. And that is a major obstacle. But yet it is one that we don't know. No one knows who's going to bend on that one. Will it be Israel or will it be the Palestinians? Or maybe there will be some form of compromise. But that's a big one right there. But we do know that in order for Israel to exist and to feel that they are in a secure position before this invasion can take place, there must be some peace process. There must be some united, there must be two states essentially living side by side with each other with a sense of peace and security. And we know the way the world works and the United Nations and all that, and maybe it's guaranteed by an international coalition of forces that says, you know what, we'll go, we'll protect you, Israel. We'll watch it. We'll keep your back for you. We'll watch your back. Just sign on the dotted line, you know, because that's how the world works today. And we already see the pressure that is being applied to Israel when our president comes out and says, you know what, if you don't agree to this, hey, we're not responsible for the fallout of everyone else around the world, because they're going to look at you, Israel, as the one who isn't living up or desiring peace and putting the pressure on. Jesus said, let's bring it back to the Lord and we'll close. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, it may seem like we've talked a lot about current events, but Jesus said, watch current events. He's the one that said, when you see these things come to pass, these are important events and we need to give attention to them, because we are to be watchers in the world. We are to be watching what's going on.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of the voice of truth.